Hello everyone, this is The Animator Life, and I am Ellie Augsburger.
And I'm Nick.
And today we have a special guest who is a dear friend of mine and Nick's that we met at CTN, Zaina. Zaina, you want to say hi?
Hi, how's it going, everyone?
Because they can totally respond to that. All right, so a quick explanation about our hiatus. My dearly beloved one-year-old animating machine, Hal, the machine that controls my life, died unexpectedly. The tech guy said that what happened to his hard drive is essentially a stroke. That it's very rare that this kind of thing happens, but it's not unheard of, and it's essentially the equivalent of a computer stroke. So my computer had a stroke.
This sounds like it could be turned into a short with a personified computer and like a personified computer doctor's office and everything like that.
Let's add this to our list right after Plague Babies.
All right, let's do it.
We'll do that one next.
All right, number two.
But yeah, from there, like replacing the hard drive was pretty easy. That was the easiest part in this whole situation. But getting Windows installed on the new hard drive was a hassle because the manufacturer of my computer would not give me the recovery disks.
Which Windows did you get? Curiosity.
Well, what happened is the version of Windows that came installed on my computer was Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
But the key that I had is a downgrade key. So the people who manufactured my laptop installed Windows 8, then paid to downgrade it to Windows 7. So the license I had, I couldn't even use unless I went through the manufacturer of the computer, which is Lenovo, by the way. Don't buy Lenovo. They have like really crappy consumer policies. So I ended up having to buy a whole new license of Windows, and now I'm using Windows 10, but because Windows 10's been out for a while, it took forever to get all the updates installed, and then get Maya installed, and then get... And then, after all that, I had to catch up on all my work that I had missed out on, because my computer was dead, and I was without a computer for like 2.5-3 weeks. So we are finally back, but I just wanted everyone to know that it's not because we're not doing it anymore or because we're slacking or anything. So
we legitimately were ready to do more, and then a stroke occurred in the family. We couldn't do anymore.
And now instead of Hal, I have GLaDOS, my trusty machine that takes over my life and controls me completely.
That sounds about right. So. GLaDOS is fitting.
I thought so. Zaina, why don't you tell us about yourself, what you're doing, the kind of animation you do, a little bit about your background.
Tell us about your lovely accent as well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. It's kind of British. Do you want just like a bio? Like a short...
Yeah, sure. Yep. Why'd you become an animator? Like, what was your calling?
Okay, as a kid, I would always draw and color in, play with Legos, play Sega, computer games. I thought I'd want to be an inventor because I'd go through like the toy catalogs and think, oh, I really wish there'd be something like this. And then I would draw like toys I'd invent in different perspectives. And I thought that was my calling. You know, I watched like Looney Tunes and Tex Avery and Hanna-Barbera and stuff and Disney. But it wasn't until Toy Story came out that changed my life. That honestly was the thing that made me not want to do anything apart from be a character animator. I was at that age where I was mature enough to know that they were toys, but after watching that movie, I basically second-guessed what I knew. So believe it or not, I would like try and spy on my toys and like try and tickle them to see if I can get something out of them.
I guarantee you are not the only person. Yeah,
you're not the only person. I was convinced. I had this little stuffed elephant that I was convinced was lonely. And the other toys made fun of her because she had a big nose. I was convinced. So I had to get another elephant toy so that she'd have a friend and then there'd be two toys with big noses and they wouldn't be sad. So yeah, I did the same thing.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, as I grew up, I realized that was the, you know, quote-unquote illusion of life. And, you know, like where I am now, I just love seeing characters come to life. I've always been particularly fascinated in the audience's connection to CGI and how a well-animated shot can evoke a viewer to, you know, legitimately laugh or cry. Like when Toy Story 3 came out, grown men were like crying in the cinema because, you know, Andy gave up. Spoiler alert.
I was crying in the movie theater.
It was powerful, you know, and I would love to contribute to something like that and make memorable, you know, shots. So my journey, I've always been a good student. I worked really hard, because I knew it wasn't going to be easy. You know, I was born and bred in London and I knew the studios would be in America. And so I was at the top of my class in art and ICT and graphics and photography, and I wanted to excel and specialize in it. I didn't do any safe subjects. I didn't do anything academic. I just wanted to pursue this. So I got my undergraduate degree with honors, and then I became a generalist for a little while. I did some modeling and animation content for like interactive augmented reality, which was fun. I got to do things unsupervised for like international campaigns, and that was good. But I left that to do my master's, so I got a master's as well in 3D computer animation, and then I got a job as a senior generalist doing medical animation on interactive media platforms. So I was just providing like the best surgical reference and training tools for the global surgical community. So you know, it wasn't what I wanted to do. I've always wanted to do character animation. So I joined Animation Mentor. And
Yay! That
has been, honestly, one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. You know, Sean, Bobby, and Carlos have done an amazing job. The mentors are amazing, and the community is so encouraging and supportive. You know, I met Nick and Ellie because of Animation Mentor. And I know you guys might have heard, you know, the full story of how we met and how me and Nick's jaws dropped when we found out she was the creator of the amazing animator, you know, Tumblr.
You're making me blush. You guys.
No, we rushed to her and we were giving her hugs. And I just met her for like maybe 5 minutes and then I was just like, I don't care.
Yeah, we were in the elevator together, and that was how we met. Is just walked into the elevator and it's like, oh yeah, our rooms are just like,
literally opposite,
right next door.
Yeah, and so CTN, that's where we met, and that was an amazing experience. So after I finished Animation Mentor, I was in San Francisco for a while, and I made some friends that were animators there, and they're like Animation Mentor alumni, which is good. I was in America until my entry to the US, you know, expired. Came back to London, and now I am a character animator at Blue Zoo, which is pretty good. We're like a BAFTA award-winning company, which is like the British Oscars. They are called BAFTAs. I'm working on two upcoming children's TV series, which is called Digby Dragon for Nick Jr. and Miffy's Adventures Big and Small. That's for Tiny Pop. I don't think you get that channel over there, but it's called Tiny Pop.
We do get Nick Jr. though, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell my nephew that I know someone who works at that, so he can tell me that I'm not cool enough to know someone who works on it.
Are we allowed to know? I don't know what your NDA or anything is like, but when is that coming out?
I believe that's coming out next year. We have, I think, 54 episodes that we're making.
Wow.
And we've done, I think, about maybe like five or something. So it's a big TV series. The animation style is quite cartoony. It's not too squash and stretchy, but it's snappy.
Mm-hmm.
All the shows that I've been working on, which is Miffy and Digby, as I was saying, they're all
very pose to pose.
It's very pose to pose in a stop motion style.
Yeah.
So it's actually animated on twos and it remains stepped. We don't do any splining.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that sounds super cool.
That's actually how they're doing. That's actually how they did Peanuts up at Blue Sky. Yeah. They did the whole thing is all stepped.
Yeah.
I kind of really want to try that. Because isn't that kind of similar to how they did the Lego movie too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just think of it as blocking plus plus. A lot of tweening. A lot of tween machine. And it's good because, you know, when you're rendering, you only render half of what you're, you know, of the timeline. Because you can just keep it, instead of one frame per second, it's 2 frames per second.
Mm-hmm. So.
It's pretty good production-wise and stuff.
Well, not 2 frames per second, but...
Oh, you know what I'm going to say.
I got it. I'm sure our listeners know what you're talking about, too. Yeah,
you know what I'm trying to say. It's animated on 2s and it remains stepped.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
The same image for 2 frames instead of...
That's
one
it!
Image for 1 frame.
What she said. Exactly like
Nick
that.
Just likes.
I gotta give everyone a hard
feel
time.
Like
okay.
Idiots in the show. That's what he does. He likes to make everybody feel stupid.
No, it's just if I hear something like that, I just have to point it out every time.
He's gotta That's be okay. that person.
Yeah, I do.
He's a smarty pants.
I can't help it. I'm programmed this way, and I can't break the programming.
I think maybe if you tried, you might surprise yourself.
It would be a surprise for myself if I could. That's for sure.
Well, actually, this kind of like goes in very smoothly to our main topic, which is international animation.
Yeah. A lot of people think that the U.S. is the only thing that's doing features, and granted, we are the best at doing feature animated films. Let's face it. Come on. But
yep.
A lot more recently.
I don't know. Aardman is pretty amazing.
No. Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people think that we are like the know-all, end-all, say-all of feature animated films. But the truth is, especially recently, there have been so many other like international companies that have been popping up and putting out full 3D stuff, and not necessarily like to the quality standard of like, let's say, Pixar or Disney. Visually, but now, like within the most recent years, like especially in China, they're putting out some amazing looking stuff, like very comparable to those studios. And a lot of people don't realize it, but like, for example, like in China, the Little Door Gods. I don't know if anybody listening has watched the trailer for it, but you should, because visually it looks just as good as what the studios here can put out.
Oh, absolutely. It looks amazing on so many levels. It's like the character design, the rendering, the lighting, the animation's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything looks I wish it was subtitled. I want to know what's
I'm
what's
sure
happening.
We will get something eventually for it.
I hope so. I really do. And you know what? I rely on Netflix for a lot of that stuff. I wish that Netflix in particular would kind of clean up a little bit of their categories. Because the animation category is almost entirely like little kid shows.
Yeah. You know what would be interesting is if Netflix decided to... I don't know if this would be like a department or a marketing thing, but they should try and do something where they work in ports for like international movies like that. Where they could be like Netflix exclusives. They wouldn't even have to go to theaters per se.
Yeah.
But
oh my gosh,
just
Netflix.
Where they do port for them.
Netflix, if you want to... to look into producing your own animated film, call me.
Call all three of us. We already work well together.
I'll work on it. I'll work on anything. I love working, so I'm just always looking for the next new project. Oh, I'm so excited.
And like you said, Aardman's been doing this for a long time. I actually really wanted to see the what is it, Shaun of the Sheep movie? Or Sheep?
Yes,
I really want to see
the Shaun of the Sheep movie so bad, but it hasn't come to theaters over here.
Really?
And
I don't know if it's
show,
in theaters here, yeah.
The show is so adorable. Like, I'm mid-20s adult, and I watch it for fun with my husband, and we laugh. And, you know, there's no... Have you ever seen any of the Shaun of the Sheep stuff?
I've never watched the show.
Oh, of course, yeah, it's on TV for us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's
fantastic.
Over there.
There's no dialogue. There's no dialogue.
That's one of the main things that would draw me into it, to be honest with you, is like I love when you can tell a story without without words. I love that.
It's so stinking cute. I can't handle it. It really, it just is.
The trailer for that movie, legitimately, I was like, this is kind of funny. Like, I don't know. I really wanted to see it. And it came out the day after my birthday, too. In the U.S., anyway.
Has it really been out that long?
Yeah, it's been out since the 7th of August.
Huh.
I do know that it had a very limited opening, though. Like, theater-wise.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
That's, which is sad. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because Aardman makes amazing stuff. Like, one movie that Aardman made that I love dearly, and I saw it in the theaters, but so many people don't even know it exists, is Arthur Christmas.
I love that movie.
Arthur Christmas?
Yeah.
So many people I know have never heard of it, and to me, it's like, it's one of the best Christmas movies I've ever seen. It makes me choke up, like, I understand, like, it's just,
Did you watch...
It's so perfect.
Do you own it?
I do.
Did you watch any of the, extras at the back? Like, they go through, like, I don't know if it was in the extras on the DVD or if I saw this online in, like, featurettes or something, but there's one for the modeling of the movie, like the actual, like, models that they made, and the set for his little workshop, or I don't know if it was his workshop, but like Arthur's room or whatever that he's in, where he's got like all the letters and anything. Oh my gosh, like, the level of detail in the models to that set blew my mind.
So for those of you who don't know, I'll give you the basic plot of Arthur Christmas. Arthur is Santa Claus's son, but Santa Claus is not one person throughout time. It's a family tradition. It gets passed down from father to son. And I don't remember which one it is, but Arthur's got an older brother who's pretty much poised to take over as Santa. And so there's Grandpa Santa, Dad Santa, and probably soon to be Santa. And Arthur is the screw up, the really dweeby son who's like always super excited for Christmas. And then, you know, something goes wrong, and at the very beginning of the movie, and there's one child who didn't get a toy on Christmas Eve. They missed a house. And so the entire movie revolves around how they're going to get this toy to this child. And it's just so cute.
Come on, that's an adorable premise. Let's face it.
It is. It is. And you know what? Like, granted, nothing will ever be able to shake Muppet Christmas Carol out of the number one spot for Christmas movies for me. But Arthur Christmas is now my number two. So, like, every year at Christmas, I have to watch Muppet Christmas Carol, Elf, and Arthur Christmas.
I have to watch The Nightmare Before Christmas and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Those are my two biggest Christmas ones, for sure.
Well, I'm sorry. Elf
is okay. But I'm not the biggest Will Ferrell fan, so I have to take it in doses.
And that's a shame, because as an animator, Will Ferrell delivers his lines in such a way that it's so prime for animating.
I mean, it's definitely a unique delivery system, I will give you that. But, like, even because he did Megamind, and I have, like, I'm, like, the only one of my friends that says this, but, like, it's not one of my favorite animated movies at all. But
what?
So many of my... See?
What?
So many people I know are like, that's the best DreamWorks movie by far.
Oh, my God. I will not go so far as to say it's the best DreamWorks. How to Train Your Dragon... That franchise, to me, is the best thing that DreamWorks has ever put out. But seriously, not liking Megamind, that's... Oh, man.
I can't help it.
I just learned something about you that's just shaken the whole foundation of our
relationship. I feel like this happens every podcast, Ellie.
It does. It just goes to show how little I know you.
And then every day, you're just like, how am I actually friends with this kid? But it still works.
Oh, whoa. I consider you a peer.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Like, I don't see you as a kid because I'm not that much older than you.
Fair enough. Kid for life.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Anyway.
Now, back to international animation and Netflix. Have you guys seen A Monster in Paris?
I don't think so.
I started watching it, and then I need to finish it. Really badly.
It's on Netflix, and it is by far one of the best movies I've ever found on Netflix, and one of the best animated films I've ever seen. Period. It's
really because I remember like I made it like a half hour into it, and I was like still like they were still doing a lot of development for the story itself, and I was like the monster himself just basically got made, and I was like,
see,
I've had, like, no one that I know has said anything bad about it, but, like, that first half hour, I'm still like, alright, a little bit more grabbing, but it's still good. Like, the animation and everything, still decent.
I loved it, and you could tell that, so I think the movie is originally French.
Yeah.
You can tell that they went back and redid the, lip sync.
Oh, to match that's the awesome. English.
Yeah, like, when you look at it, because that's what I was looking at, and that's part of what blew me away, is that the lip syncs for the English lined up perfectly.
Yeah,
so,
it's
So, I mean,
really...
the only way I can think that would happen is if they did go back and redo it, which to me is just a whole level of commitment.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, because it's always off-putting when you're watching something where the dialogue and the lips don't match.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I cannot handle the spaghetti westerns. As much as I love Clint Eastwood, those spaghetti westerns just drive me crazy. Where you can tell the people are speaking Italian and the voices are dubbed over in English. I'm like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah, I honestly think it's more noticeable in animation, too. Like, when they did the Final Fantasy Advent Children, which, to me, still one of the most beautiful animated things I have ever seen in my life. The render quality is... I can't even talk about it without getting emotional. but no, that... I forgot what I was saying, but that movie, just so good.
Well, anyway. Well, with the monster in Paris, hold out, because the monster becomes very endearing.
Oh, the lip sync, that's what. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you need to really hold out. It is... And it's beautifully rendered, and the coloring they did with everything, like, it's just gorgeous. And I loved it. Like, it makes me want to watch it again just right now.
Like I said, I definitely plan on finishing it, because I definitely, yeah, I'm going to finish it.
And you know what's a shame, too? As the United States, I feel like Canada is our closest neighbor we should be supporting more. And Planet 51, have you guys seen this movie?
I've seen clips from it, but I haven't seen it yet.
One of my classmates, an animation mentor, actually worked on it, Christine Krumpholz, and she's an amazing person, and just really cool and wonderful. That movie was made in Vancouver, and I thought it was really cute, and I enjoyed it a lot, and my nephew really enjoyed it, but it's one of those that didn't do well because there wasn't a lot of advertising for it, and, it's just a shame that, you know, something that was made as close as Canada didn't do well in the United States because of marketing and because of whatever other reasons that went with it, because it was one of those movies that was very underrated.
Yeah.
And by underrated, I mean, like, both Planet 51 and The Monster in Paris are better than Frozen to me. And I know that's a very bold statement.
Here we go.
But I mean, like, Planet 51 had voices like...
It had Dwayne Johnson, didn't it?
Dwayne Johnson and Justin Long and... there was somebody else in it. I can't remember who else was in it. But yeah, it was a really good movie, and it didn't do well at all. And it was so cute.
You said that you saw it, Zaina?
Yeah. I did see it because when it came out, my brother was quite young, and you know, he just needed stuff to kind of watch and keep him entertained, and he got a few movies, you know, played over and over again. This was something new that I, you know, rented for him to watch, and it was pretty cool. I mean, I watched it to critique the animation, which I thought was, you know, it's fairly decent. But
see,
I'm sorry, I do
feel
prefer
the same
Frozen.
Way as Ellie does.
No, sorry, I will have to say Frozen for me was better.
Yeah, see, I just don't like Frozen, so.
but...
to me, most movies are better than Frozen. I just really didn't like it that much. And I don't understand why that was so successful when.
Do you have
a
sister?
A better movie. No, I do not have a sister.
That might help. I have a sister.
She's got a brother.
I have a twin brother.
Okay for her.
So
Okay.
It's different. I liked Big Hero 6. But to me, like, Wreck-It Ralph, like, that to me
oh,
was,
I
like,
love
an amazing
Wreck-It
movie.
Ralph's
and it
awesome.
Didn't do
amazing.
It didn't do nearly as well as Frozen did.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph
now
is worlds
thinking,
better than Frozen. World's better.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think that Planet 51 is not the movie I was thinking of.
Oh!
Well,
I don't
are
think
you
my
sure?
Friend
because
Christina
Dwayne Johnson
on
is the one. Like, he was in that.
No, but I'm thinking, I don't think that's the one my friend worked on.
Are you talking about Monsters vs. Aliens?
Was it Escape from Earth was the other alien one that came out?
Yeah, that was,
that
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the one Christina worked on. because it's going to drive me crazy, because I was like, I know she worked on an alien one. Because then maybe Planet 51 wasn't done in Canada like I thought it was.
Oh, man, you just... All the facts. No one's going to trust us ever again.
Whatever.
At least she's putting her hand up now.
I don't claim to know everything. I'm just saying. Rob Corddry was in the other one. I'm going to look up Rob Corddry and see what I can find.
Well,
the other
speaking
one.
Of Canada, since you brought it up, I just want to mention Rainmaker Studios. Because they're an awesome studio up there. And they are working on two movies right now. That they're working on more. I forget which ones, what other ones they're working on. But they're working on full feature-length movies to go along with two very popular game series from Sony. They're working on a Ratchet and Clank movie and a Sly Cooper movie. And the Ratchet and Clank movie looks exactly like the games. Like, it almost looks like they took the models and everything from the games, redid them and up-res them, and then are making a movie in that style. And it looks awesome. Like, I've never played the games, but I definitely want to see the movie. And I love Sly Cooper. It is one of my all-time favorite game series. And I'm not the biggest fan of, like, the character styles that they went with for the movie, but the movie itself perfectly fits the tone and style of the games. And I'm super excited.
See, I think the characters kind of remind me of the same style from Over the Hedge. Do you guys remember Over the Hedge?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the characters remind me of.
For the Sly Cooper one you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I see that. I do. Well, here's the thing. Like, Bentley looks almost similar, like, almost identical to what he looks like in the games. Sly is, like... Sly looks mostly like what he looks like in the games, although instead of just being gray-colored and cel-shaded, he's actually got fur on him, which makes him look pretty different. But then Murray, like... Murray just looks so different than the way that he does in the games, and I'm not the biggest fan of the way that he looks in the movie at all. But, you know, it is what it is. The movie still looks like a lot of fun. That trailer is pretty funny. And it really does capture the tone and the friendship between those three characters, like the way that they are in the games. They go and steal some donuts from cops. Classic.
I've never played the games. I think I should look into it.
If you have a PlayStation, you should do it.
When we're talking about movies being made from video games, the one I'm really excited about is the Assassin's Creed movie, starring Michael Fassbender.
I'll definitely watch it, that's for sure.
I am definitely going to watch it, too.
So. I know it didn't review well, but I also want to see Hitman 47, Agent 47, just because I love action movies.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that. You like action movies, but you've never seen The Terminator. You only like action movies of a certain age.
Yup, the better ones.
Zaina, I don't know if you listened to it, but he thinks that Clive Owen and Jason Statham are the kings of action. It's like... I'm sorry.
They're the new kids in town.
They're more fun to watch.
No. You can imitate Arnie.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Zaina. Thank you so much. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's half the fun.
Yes. Yes.
Zaina, I thought you were my friend.
So
what
much.
The heck?
Come on, man. I mean, I know Jason's British, but he's a Cockney dude, so I'm used to English people. I wouldn't make fun of Jason because it's like making fun of myself.
You know what the crazy thing about Jason Statham is? He used to be an Olympic diver before he became an actor.
Did he really?
Yeah. That's why he looks so damn good.
I thought I heard that he was like some sort of street thug when Guy Ritchie found him. That's what I heard.
No, he was an Olympic diver, like a medal-winning diver.
Gosh. Yeah, I got that. I heard that he was a street. I know what you mean by Olympic diver. Okay, I am an educated person to understand what that phrase means.
I didn't even say that like you weren't. Okay.
Okay. I'm just. Oh, Escape from Planet Earth is the name of the movie I was thinking of.
Okay.
Now that I've finally found it, I'm done. That was made in Canada. That my friend worked on. So I don't know where Planet 51 was made. But anyway, so I had heard that Jason Statham was like some sort of like street thug when Guy Ritchie found him.
I mean,
I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that's what I heard.
Honestly, he can do whatever he wants. So I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know either. I just know that he used to be a diver.
Cool story.
We were also talking about French studios before, and I just want to bring up, I know it's not a feature, but there's a TV series that they made. I always forget the full length of it, but it's like the Marvelous Adventures of Ladybug and Cat Noir or something like that. I just call it Ladybug. But for a TV show, the render quality looks really good and the animation's decent. So I'd really want to watch it, even though it's about, like, a teenage girl. But
Hey, sometimes stuff about teenage girls are the best.
Hey, just saying. Look, when you're right, you're right, okay? Like, I'm not going to argue
Anne
the point
Gable
with you.
Still holds a special place in my heart, and that's about a young girl.
Which one?
Anne of Green Gables.
I haven't seen it.
I've not heard of that either, I'm afraid.
Oh, I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it.
You guys have never heard
of... No, I've heard of it, I've just never watched it.
Well, it's a book series.
Okay, well then I've never read it.
So, like, I think PBS made like a made for TV kind of thing, which is pretty good. But yeah, Anne of Green Gables is a famous book series about a girl in Canada.
Oh, really? Canada?
Yeah.
Oh.
Prince Edward Island.
Hmm.
Wow. I feel old. I really do.
Something else that happens every podcast. Glad I can help.
Yes, thank you. Now, I think talking international studios, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Miyazaki.
Studio Ghibli?
Yes. I have not seen all of their films, mainly because I can't find a place to rent them, stream them. Like, the only option seems to be to buy them. You can't. Like, if somebody knows a place where, like, iTunes or someplace like that, that you can rent them, please let me know, because I've been looking for that for a long time.
They just came out with a collection that has all of them.
But you have to buy it outright.
This is true.
That's a lot of money.
Actually, I think for what it was, the price wasn't that bad. I think I remember seeing it for, like, $60, but it had almost every... Or, no, it did have every Studio Ghibli film. I was like, $60 for, like, 10-plus films, not necessarily that bad.
I think I've seen Ponyo, Arrietty, The Secret World of Arrietty.
I haven't seen any of those two.
And I've seen Howl's Moving Castle. Those are the only ones I've seen. I've been wanting to see Spirited Away and My Neighbor Totoro for a long time.
Spirited Away is my favorite one that I've seen of his. It's my favorite one out of all the ones that I've seen of his. For sure.
I think my favorite is Howl's. I was not a big fan of Ponyo. I feel like I'm not even saying that right. Is that right? Ponyo?
Ponyo, that's right.
And then The Secret World of Arrietty. I was expecting something very different. And because I really liked the Borrowers. I read the book as a kid, and I used to watch this old movie that was like from Family Feature Films that was The Borrowers. And I used to love it. So when they said they were making The Secret World of Arrietty, which is based off those books, I was kind of expecting something different. It was a very, very somber tone to it.
Hmm.
And what was the new one that came out about the about flying?
Oh, Gone with the Wind name. Or something? Something about the wind?
Yes.
When the Wind Rises or something like that?
Yes, When the Wind Rises. Yeah, I've seen that.
Is it good?
I guess not.
It was interesting, but I felt like it went on for too long. It's not his best work, I would say.
Wasn't it nominated for an Oscar this year?
Not this year.
Not this year.
Was it last year then?
Do you know what? I don't think it was nominated, because that was around the time that Feast was nominated and Big Hero 6 was nominated. I don't think that came up in the as a nominated.
I don't know.
Huh. Because I feel like that's how it came up in my radar. And then I still have not seen The Song of the Sea, and it breaks my heart.
No, I really want to see that.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Grave of the Fireflies, by the way?
Do what?
The what?
Sorry to interrupt. I was just wondering, have you seen Grave of the Fireflies?
No, I haven't even heard of it. What is it?
That's the Japanese one, right?
Amazing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie, you have to see that movie. It's so moving.
It's about two little kids during, what is it, World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so touching. Oh.
Oh, man. It already sounds like it spells out, like, me sitting out with a box of Kleenex on my couch.
You have to. Like, yeah. It's so hard. But you have to see it. It's, like, a must. Before anything else.
I'll have to do it when Carl's not home so that I can do my ugly cry without having him see it.
I'm going to message him and be like, yo, Ellie's about to cry her eyes out. Get home and see
it. He's seen it. He'd just roll his eyes and be like, ugh.
Maybe he'll enjoy watching it too.
Oh yeah, I'll probably watch it. But if I watch it the first time and I know it's coming, the second time I probably won't cry as much. Hopefully. That's my theory.
I honestly watched it with my sister and my brother, and we were all like, oh my god, this is hard. This is hard to digest.
You know what though? Like, it's funny you say that, because like I've heard about the movie before, and most of the things that I've heard about it say exactly this. Like, pretty much every, even the reviews, they're just like, this is one of the hardest hitting movies we've ever watched.
So beautiful, though. So authentic, and just so touching. I really recommend it.
You know what? That's actually really nice to hear, that there are animated films that aren't just happy princess stories or, you know, love stories.
It's absolutely not a happy princess story.
It's the polar opposite.
Yeah. Like, is there anything happy in the movie, like, at all?
I can't say. I remember some things that made me feel happy, like nostalgia. I don't know about your tolerance, but you have to see it. And you know, there's just some parts that touched me, because I was like, oh, when I was a kid, I used to do that. And they just get you, you know, subliminally, and then you kind of put yourself in their shoes, and it's like you're in their world, and you really feel like sorry for them. Just wish I could just hug them or adopt them.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, so, maybe I will go watch that now.
Definitely watch it.
Cause I'm not the biggest fan of war movies, but it is animated, so I should watch it.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't have Netflix, and I think Netflix America and Netflix England is a bit different.
Oh, they're definitely different.
Yeah. That's true.
I know Canada's Netflix is better than the American Netflix, which is weird.
With some things, they are. Like, with their movies, it's better, but with their TV shows, it's not nearly as great.
Okay, touche. You are correct. It's weird. Like, the movies that they have are way more recent than the ones that we get.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I couldn't believe... Like, when I went up to Canada for vacation, and I, like, plugged it in, I was like, this is on Netflix? Sweet. I'm going to add it to my queue and watch it when I get home. And it's like, nope. Nah, sorry.
You're traveling. I know that you live in the U.S. You can't add this to your queue. That's pretty much what happens, though.
Have you guys seen, I think it's called The Gruffalo?
Yes! Yes, I saw it.
No, I haven't.
Where did I see that? I think I saw it either at an animation festival, or I saw it at CTN the first time I went.
Oh, nice.
Sounds familiar, but what is it?
It's based off of a children's book.
Yes.
Well, I gathered that.
How did you gather that if you don't know anything about it?
No. I don't know anything about the movie. I've heard about it before, though. Like, the book that it's based off of.
Oh, well, I mean... It's hard to talk about without giving it away, actually, because it's what...
Okay.
It's not very long. It's very straightforward, mm-hmm. but it's cute. It's very cute.
It is a full feature, right? Like, it's not just a short?
I think it's only, like, 45 minutes or something like that, right?
45 is considered a feature. Or, no, 45... Anything under 45 is still considered a short. If it's over 45, then it's considered feature.
I think it's a short. I don't think it was that long. I was at a New Year's Eve party, and we watched, like, three things back to back, and one of them was The Gruffalo.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that long.
Okay.
Like, it was a longer short, but it wasn't feature length that I can remember. One feature length that I saw, I remember seeing this in 2009 at the Ottawa Animation Festival. It was called Edison and Leo. And it was a stop motion that was almost kind of like Robot Chicken-esque. And it was so... it opens up and it says, "We would like to tell you a story about a famous inventor named Edison." And they show, like, Thomas Edison, like, working on the light bulb. And they're like, not him. The guy we want to talk about is not nearly as smart as that guy. And so they go over. And his son, Leo. And it was, like, it was just, like, this crazy adventure of things that got out of hand real fast. But there was this really uncomfortable, like, puppet sex scene for like 3 seconds. And
was it as uncomfortable as like Team America?
Yes. It was really awkward, but it was so funny. And then they show this puppet like trying to smoke a cigarette, and it was hilarious. I loved it. But then like where it ended was so far away from where it started that it was insane. Like, crazy robots and Amazon warriors and, like, space.
What?
Like, it was... I have never been able to find a copy of this film to purchase because this is a movie I want in my personal collection. And it was feature length, and it was called Edison and Leo. And I want it. So if anybody knows of this movie, please email me because I want it. I've been telling Carl about this movie for years, and he's like, "Well, we'll have to keep an eye out on Netflix for it."
I'll believe it when I see it. if I ever see it.
No, he believes me that it's real because I was with other people who vouched for me how funny this movie was. So I mean, it was part of an animation festival, so it was a real thing. It's just I've never been able to find it to purchase it, and it makes me sad. So, because I saw it, and that same year is when I saw, Mary and Max. That's what it was called.
Okay, Mary and Max, I think, is still on Netflix. I do want to watch that. That one's stop-mo, too, right?
Yeah, that one's stop-mo, and I think they use clay. Like, everything looks like it has, like, a really clay-like texture, the way, like, Wallace and Gromit does. And I think that movie's Australian.
You know what? I do think it is.
Yeah. And that was really cute. That'll hit you in the feels for sure. It was a wonderful movie. So
that's about a husband and wife and something happens to them?
No, actually, it's about this little girl in Australia who's a little weird. And she decides she wants a she wants a friend. So she tears a random page out of a phone book and starts writing letters to someone in this address, and they become pen pals. And I think it's based off of a true story because I remember hearing about a similar situation in like a Chicken Soup for the Soul book. The man she contacts and starts writing letters to is a man named Max who lives in Brooklyn. And I want to say, I think they said he has autism or something similar, or Asperger's. He has something like that. And the friendship they develop and the complications they have with each other. But the voice cast is amazing. Eric Bana, Toni Collette plays the little girl, Mary, and Philip Seymour Hoffman did Max. So it was really interesting. I highly recommend that movie. It was fantastic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of any more international films I know. Like, I know there's so many out there, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, I was going to say, since we were talking about Neighbors, we were talking about Canada, but Mexico has actually been doing some animated features recently. I don't know if you've heard about any of those.
Mm-mm.
There was one that I actually kind of want to see, Un Gallo con Muchos Huevos, which is, I don't remember the exact translation, but it's something about, I know huevos is eggs. I don't remember what gallo is. Ugh, I don't remember. But this one did actually get released in America, like, a few weeks ago. You know, limited release or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, they were saying that it was crazy because I'm looking at an article right now and it said that the movie landed in 8th place one of the weekends, I think the weekend that it premiered, above two other movies that had already been, like, out in America, but, like, live-action movies, like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Do you remember seeing the trailer for that?
Yeah, it looks Henry amazing. Cavill? I've heard things about it.
Yeah, it looks fun, but, like, when this animated movie from Mexico came out, like, I guess it made more money the weekend that it came out than The Man from U.N.C.L.E. did.
Well, how long's The Man from U.N.C.L.E. been out, though?
It's a new movie. It's only been out for, like, a couple months, as far as I'm aware. Like, if
A couple of months? Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. If you had said it'd only been out, like, 2 weeks, that would be surprising. But if it's been out for a couple months, that doesn't shock me so much.
I don't know. We'll see. I should do more research, but Okay, the Gallo launched in Mexico on August 20th. So, yeah, this is all very recent. Within, like, the past couple weeks, this has all come out.
When did it launch in the U.S.?
I think it was either that same week or a week after. Let's see, when did this article... 9/5, so...
Last week.
This article was written last week, so it was the week before that it came out in the U.S. So it looks like a week after or so. So yeah, this is only like a couple weeks ago.
I'll have to check it out and see if we can find it. Because, I mean, I live in somewhat a major city. I say somewhat because I don't really think we're that we're that important in the long.
Here's what it means: a rooster with many eggs. That's what it translates to. Okay, cool. Oh, and in Mexico, it lasted as the number one for the first 2 weeks that it came out.
Well, that's not surprising.
No, but for an animated movie, that's pretty legit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not surprising that it did well in Mexico. Is what
and
I'm saying.
apparently, it's rated PG-13, which is kind of funny.
Ooh. Oh, speaking of PG-13, have you guys seen the trailer for the Robot Chicken movie?
No.
No, I haven't.
What is it called? Let me look it up real quick. I saw the trailer for it the other day. The same guys making Robot Chicken are doing a movie. Stupid Buddy.
Stupid Buddy, yeah.
It's something to do with hell, because I watched the trailer, and
they go
to hell to find their buddies, and it's, like, some of the jokes in it are just, like, at the very end of the trailer, like, they're at a line, it's like, I'd like a taco, and he's like, oh, sorry, we don't have any tacos. The guy behind the counter is like, we don't have any tacos. And the guy's like, but this is Taco Bell, right? I can either have taco or pizza. He goes, welcome to hell, buddy. We don't have it. And I don't know, like, why that made me laugh so hard, but it was. Do you know what the name of the movie is?
No, I don't remember. Speaking of rated R animated movies, apparently Seth Rogen is working on one. Sausage Party.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah. About sausages in a market, yeah.
That's being made in Canada.
Apparently they get lost from their section and then they have to go make their way back to where they belong in the supermarket.
Well, maybe we should start with our game. What game did you decide upon?
I thought we were going to do Scar. Is that what we were doing? Or did you come up with something else?
It's up to you. It's up to you. This is your show today. You're the one who planned everything.
Don't do that.
I'm just here.
No. What about you, Zaina? You got any interesting games or trivia for us? Yeah, that's a no.
Let me think.
We can do the Scar one. Zaina, how would you guess that Scar got his scar?
We're talking about The Lion King for anyone who needs clarification.
All right. In my mind, he was asleep, and a mosquito was buzzing around his face and wanted to have a little bite, and then he mistakenly swatted his mosquito and scarred his face. I don't know. Something like that.
Have you legitimately thought that since you first watched it? Or
No, of course not. Right. I never questioned why he had a scar. It's just named Scar. Maybe he was born with it. I don't know.
I've always kind of thought that Scar got his scar somehow from Mufasa. That
that's what I would have thought. Yeah.
Yeah, as they were kids, they were playing, and maybe they were close brothers, and something happened, some bad accident, and that, because Scar is always portrayed as weaker physically and everything as well, mm-hmm. too, they mm-hmm. make a couple of cracks about that, I just thought that maybe something happened, when they were young children, young cubs or whatever you call them, and Mufasa was responsible for whatever contributed to Scar and failing physical condition, and the reason why I think they were close too is because I can't imagine someone being I feel like that would contribute to Scar's total bitterness towards his older brother, because in the movie, Mufasa is this, he's a perfect guy. He's super cool, he's super wise, he's fair. There would have to be some reason for why Scar would always hold it against him. And what I thought maybe, too, is that Scar was the older brother. And that whatever hurt him took him out of the line to be king.
I was gonna say, when you were just talking about this, I always kind of thought that maybe it was because of the actual, what if the two of them are, the same age, and then to figure out who was going to run the pride, that was how they determined it back when.
Yeah,
these
and that...
These are pretty smart answers, guys. I feel
I like your fly answer, though. I really do like that.
Come on, you have, such good context, and you're justifying it so maturely, and I feel
This is what we do to the people that we have on. We're like, we're going to play a game, and then we'll come up with something really serious to back ourselves up. Yeah.
I feel like,
we need to come up with funny answers.
Wait, I can come up with one. Okay, so Scar was playing pirates and forgot to take off and forgot to take off the hook on his hand when he took off his eye patch and ended up slicing down his face, and that's what caused the scar.
There we go. That's more like it. That's more Disney.
That's more Disney.
Could have, homage to, Peter Disney. Pan, Captain Hook. They could just slip it in.
Oh, you know what? What if he got it, No, I guess he wouldn't have gotten it, closer to the beginning of the movie, but, he seems pretty at home in the, what do they call that?
Pride Rock?
No, in the elephant graveyard. So what if he got it, when he was a kid, he was exploring the elephant graveyard and then fell and got, a cut.
I thought he was misbehaving as well. When Ellie was talking, I was like, maybe he was just kind of misbehaving and kind of rebellious and got it doing something Mufasa warned Simba about.
Wait, I got it. It was in the elephant graveyard, but the whole reason for it was Mufasa's fault. Which is why Scar thought it would be perfect revenge to send his son or his nephew out into the elephant graveyard to die as some long revenge plot to Mufasa.
Scar's in it for the long con, everyone.
Yeah. Well, obviously he's got to be. Come on, layers upon layers. That would have been... Aren't they making another Lion King movie or a TV show?
They're making a TV show about Simba's son.
It's going to be a prequel? Oh, it's going to be about his son, not the prequel?
Yeah, it's Simba's son.
Oh, well, that's not as exciting. I was hoping for James Earl Jones' voice to come back.
Nah. I want Jeremy Irons. Dude, he was perfect for Scar.
Yeah, he was.
I could listen to that guy talk all day long.
Yeah, him and voice. James Earl Jones, they've got voices that were meant for animation. That and Star Wars. They need to get Jeremy Irons in Star Wars. Yeah.
You know Jeremy Irons is playing Alfred in the Batman vs. Superman movie?
No.
Yes. That's doesn't amazing. That make it... Yeah, that's great, right?
That's amazing. I love it.
I love Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons as Brom was the only really good thing about the Aragorn movie.
Oh, that makes me so sad, because I agree with you.
That he was the best so part about hopes. That movie, by far. Because so that's perfect casting. It really is.
And now Aragorn is just the jerk butler on Downton Abbey. Or a footman or whatever he is on Downton Abbey. Alright, well, I think that's about our time.
Oh, well, before you go anywhere, it's not Stupid Buddy that's the one doing it. That's why we couldn't find it. It's a studio called Shadow Machine.
But it's still from the creator, like, it's still Seth Green doing it, right?
I don't think
so. Because they were saying from the creators of Robot Chicken.
Okay, it's co-directed by Human Giant's Tom Giannis and Robot Chicken's Ross Schumann. So it's one of the people from Robot Chicken who's doing it, or is co-directing it. And it's called Hell and Back. Anybody wants to watch it.
Yeah. That's what it is.
And it's got T.J. Miller and Nick Swardson as the two main guys.
I love T.J. Miller. Oh, that guy. And, he's just fantastic. He's in everything animated, too. He's fantastic.
And I think Bob Odenkirk is...
the devil, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the devil. Which is... That's kind of funny casting, actually. And Mila Kunis plays a demon. Susan Sarandon plays an angel.
No, I'm
dead serious. I'm literally reading this right now. Like, I'm not making this up. Yes. This is all real casting in this movie.
That's fantastic.
Speaking of TJ Miller being in everything, he's also in Deadpool, which I cannot wait for that movie. I'm so excited for it.
Well, I even just mean, like, everything animated. He's in How to Train Your Dragon series.
Yep.
And now he's in the
Big Hero 6.
And now he's in Hell and Back. He's in everything.
He's just going to work at least one movie from every studio.
That's a good goal. That's a good goal. I like that
would be, like, as a voice actor, that would actually be, like, a cool little goal to have, is to do, like, a movie from all of the major studios.
That'd be, like, the animation version of EGOTing.
It's funny.
All right, well, it's been an hour. I think that's probably about all the time we have today.
Thanks, Zaina, for being with us today.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Yeah. I had fun.
Anytime. I'm happy to have you.
So. Absolutely.
And Nick is back with the weird voices. Yay!
I do these weird voices a lot, all right?
Nick? Cheerio.
Zaina. Cheers. You know what? Cheers, Zaina.
Cheers, Nick.
Cheers.
Cheers, Ellie. That's fantastic.
All right, well, I am Ellie Augsburger with The Animator Life.
And I am Nick.
And keep living the animator life.
Yay.
Zaina, did we lose her?
I think we did.
She just suddenly gone. Oh no. Oh no, Zaina, come back.
Oh, no, there she is.
Okay.
Zaina, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, you just cut out for both of us.
Go back
for like
to
a
the tech
seconds.
Specs on the Legos.
Oh, the last thing you heard was Legos?
Yep.
All right, well, we'll cut this bit out. I'll sit
so
closer.
Understand the technical difficulties we suffered through.
Let's just do like a take two of this.
Just Just keep going, and I'll make magic happen in editing.
All right. Okay, so, a little bit about me.